live in a society where honor is a distant memory. Isn't that right, Prankit? Welcome to Shuffling Notes. I am your co-host for this episode, Razi.
And I'm your co-host, Prankit.
And here we will be discussing 30 Seconds to Mars, a rock band, an American rock band, that was formed in 1998. And yeah, and so firstly, we've never spoken about 30 Seconds to Mars. What do you think is, or what do you think about the name, first of all?
I think, you know, it's an interesting name, and, you know, to me, it kind of, like, suggests escapism a little bit, and I think, you know, we'll get into it with the tracks and, like, the lyrical content. It does feel like a bit of, you know, there's some sort of escapism, otherworldliness to their name as well as to their music. But I think, I think, you know, Jared has referenced that it was taken from, like, a rare manuscript. I'm not sure if you have the title.
It's got Argus Apographics.
Yeah, if that's how it's pronounced.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting, right? It's a bit cryptic.
Yeah, I have this thing. So Jared described when they finally came down to the name. He described it as a reference, a rough translation from the book. The idea was interesting. It's a metaphor for the future, and along with that, Mars is for, like, god of war, and that makes it all the more, you know, there's a lot happening just in the name. So, well, we'll get into the music as well, but I mean, it just begins from 30 seconds to Mars, which is quite, you know, it's not a redundant name, so to say. It's like a, you know, they're trying to be poetic with the name as well, as well as the music that they experiment with. Just to sort of preface this, we will be covering their debut album, which is self-titled 30 Seconds to Mars. Well, when I say self-titled, it's, they are named 30 Seconds to Mars, as in the THIRTY.
Yeah.
And the album is titled 30, which is the numeric 30.
Yeah, it's stylized a little differently from how they spell the name.
So self-titled.
Yeah.
And yeah, so they sort of got together firstly, they went around touring around as like a, they got famous for their live performances. Mm-hmm. They had like some energetic performances. And that was through...
Was this under a different name?
They had many different names before they finally came down to 30 Seconds to Mars.
Yeah.
And, they...
This is the brothers then, right? Jared and Shannon.
So Jared got into TV acting initially.
Yeah.
And... he started out as a quite named TV actor, and then sort of went on to Hollywood and stuff, but never wanted that attached to 30 Seconds to Mars. Like, he was quite clear of that.
Oh yes, I remember coming across this. So I think it was that he didn't want his fame, his acting fame or celebrity, to be any part of his musical stuff, and I think.
Yeah.
They went around different names trying to obscure the fact that it's Jared Leto, trying to keep it separate, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so he formed the band with his elder brother, Shannon Leto, and who's a drummer. And Jared is, I think, only... It's the vocals and lead guitar or assist guitar.
Yeah, well, I think he also does the bass and the synth and keyboards and stuff as well. I think...
It's an experimental band.
It's
an experiment. They sort of jump from alt pop rock, some thing of electronic, and lots of different genres just sort of blend into their out of this earth kind of songs, because it's 30 Seconds to Mars. And so this album was it received generally like positive reviews, and I think it was, I read somewhere, it was compared to like Pink Floyd, which was quite interesting. Pink
Well,
Floyd
the
who
producer, I think it's the producer who worked on this album. I believe he's also
Bob
worked on
Ezrin.
Pink Floyd albums, right? And I think some of that sound comes through in this album. I think Jared himself sort of described the album as sort of centering around human struggle and self-determination. But you know, they use these otherworldly elements and these conceptual ideas to, like, I guess, relate, you know, as like an analogy or a metaphor for more personal struggles, which I thought was quite interesting. And I think it goes back to the name being 30 Seconds to Mars, you know, that otherworldly feeling, but I guess could be interpreted in many ways. And I think just to add to what you were saying, I think this album definitely, it feels more, you know, there are psychedelic elements, but mostly it's more like atmospheric sound effects and atmospheric music. And so I just think it's very interesting.
It's I mean, I don't know, have you heard 30 Seconds to Mars before, this episode?
So I was actually introduced to 30 Seconds to Mars by the one of my favorite games, Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. So they feature the song Edge of the Earth really heavily. And I remember, you know, playing that game. I used to love that song, so I had to look up the artists and you know, so but this album itself, 30 Seconds to Mars, I'd never heard this like album completely. I'd heard some of the tracks off it, mostly Edge of the Earth, and then I think at the time I was playing, This Is War was the one that had come out, so that's the one I'd heard a bit more of, you know, in terms of listening all the tracks back to back. So this is my first time actually listening to this album, like sitting down listening to it track by track properly. But Edge of the Earth I've heard a lot of times. You know, I was just completely in love with that song.
Edge of the Earth is I mean, I liked so I was introduced to 30 Seconds to Mars from This Is War, the, I think this next album, which got them the fame that they currently have. And they've grown over the years with their music, and well, Jared Leto has also grown with his acting skills. Was it ever, so firstly, I have liked them from, I think the first song that I liked was Kings and Queens, if you've heard that. So Kings and Queens, the music video had come out, and that was like really
That's from This
good.
Is
I
War,
mean,
right? Kings and Queens, if I remember, yeah.
And yeah, so it's just, they've done things very, they've taken, the route they've taken is quite interesting, which is quite similar to some iconic names such as, well, The Who, The Doors, Pink Floyd, which we yet have to do. But like these people, these artists had their sort of vision or perspective that they wanted to show through their music, and here as well, it's a completely different perspective that we see. It's, they're talking, they're singing about out of the earth things in, or mainly cosmic kind of sort of parallels, but they sort of related to the very, normal day-to-day life that everyone is experiencing. And I think the main songwriter is Jared.
Yeah, I
I
believe
don't
so
know
as well.
if,
Yeah, he's written most of the songs, I think.
And so it just, I mean, it's always been interesting. And has it ever been like this fact, has it ever been interesting for you that when I got to know that Jared is also acting, and acting like phenomenally, it's from, I think, Dallas Buyers Club was the first time I mean, yeah. I knew Jared Leto's existence through 30 Seconds to Mars, but then because he sort of, his performance was, it was so good in Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah. And,
it just sort of drew me into the character, as in the actor, more of how he also has this band that goes along and also has this other side, which, I mean, he's a talented guy. He's a really talented guy.
And I think, like, you know, love him or hate him, I think you can't say that, you know, artistically, he's constantly trying to sort of push the envelope a little bit, you know, both with his, the way he approaches his roles. And also, I think musically, what they're doing with, you know, 30 Seconds to Mars, it's not just like a rock band. You know, they've almost created their own subgenre that has evolved a little bit with their music. Which, you know, and when we dive into it track by track, we can really get into the sounds and things. But I think he is, you know, constantly trying to push what he can do artistically, which is something, you know, I always admire.
That's true. That's, I mean, the word you use is very correct. It's, he is an artist and he has this artistic flow in him that, you know, you just can't stop. And he's good there, he's good here. So let's dive into the track list and, you know, sort of unravel some metaphors with the cosmic surfaces even. So the first song we have is Capricorn, which is also titled, I think, a new name.
A brand new name.
Brand new name. And yeah, so it's very, did you know Jared's birthday is on the 26th of December?
Ah, okay. Yeah.
So that's Capricorn. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if that was the intent of writing the song, but
yeah,
you know, it's just interesting to find these facts out. Yeah. And his, so he is a Capricorn, and along with that, so when, astrologically speaking, when Capricorn and Mars, I think, align or are in conjunction or something, it defines a stronger willpower, like a generally strong person. So it was, I mean, the name itself is quite interesting, and how, I mean, firstly, the song itself, without knowing these facts, it's just 30 Seconds to Mars just sort of doing their thing in, you know, and setting their brand new name.
Yeah, I think, you know, and also musically, this being the first track, right, it, like, straight off the bat, it's such an interesting fusion of, like, the different musical styles. You know, there's, like, elements of rock and electronic. Like, the chorus definitely feels more rock with the electric guitars, but there are parts that are more, like, you'd expect in, like, a Blade Runner movie. You know, more, like, sci-fi sounding, atmospheric. So I think just straight off the bat, you know, it really establishes that this is musically something else. This is not going to be your standard rock album. You know, I thought that was very interesting, going with a brand new name. And I guess, you know, thematically, a little bit what you were saying, it is a little bit about, I guess, getting a fresh start or, like, starting anew.
That's true. It's it's like, and I think in the, how, I don't remember how long Brand New Name is or Capricorn is.
It's about, I think it's, I think, like, about almost 4 minutes. I think it's almost four
so
minutes.
So I think at a 3 minute mark, they sort of, you know, get evolved into a different kind of music. The song evolves into a different music.
So I think, from what I've written down, I don't know if this is the same section you're talking about, but about the 2.5 minute mark, you know what I was saying, that Blade Runner-esque sound. There's, like, this, like, build-up, there's, like, this short build-up, and the sound sort of changes, and then I think the 3 minute mark, you get into it, which is a bit more rock again.
I think that's exactly what I'm talking about. It's so I've written,
it's funny we both noted that down.
I mean, so it stood out. I think that was that would have been the point, right?
Yeah.
And it felt like they're sort of backstage prepping us for what's coming.
Yeah.
Right, because
Yeah.
this is a brand new name. It's talking and
Yeah.
it's Capricorn,
Yeah.
which people can relate to because it's a famous, I mean, it's one of the zodiac signs,
Yeah.
and people can relate to it, and now they know that okay, this is the kind of
Yeah.
lyrical and musical content that they will be sort of introducing, which
Yeah,
is quite
yeah.
interesting.
Yeah,
And
and I've seen Jared Leto. There was like a quote, and I think he's mentioned like the song is less about reinventing yourself and more about finding out who you really are, like your true self. And I think, lyrically that makes sense. It starts like, so I run, start again. It's not just about a fresh start, but I guess it's about like finding where your origins are from and like retracing yourself a little bit to who, what the core of you is. And so I think might be why they also have those two names, like Capricorn and then a brand new name. Going by the fact that I found out that Jared is Capricorn. Yeah.
So let's go to the next song, which is Edge of the Earth,
Yeah.
which is basically Need for Speed. Like, I mean, even for me, I heard Edge of the Earth before, and it always was a very energetic song, but
Yeah.
then with, I think,
It
Hot
just like
Pursuit, the
starts
new
off
Hot Pursuit.
immediately. Yeah. Yeah.
The new Hot Pursuit sort of pushes you in with Edge of the Earth. Every time it's the menu screen that
Title
comes up,
screen.
and
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
the yeah. And then you've got Edge of the Earth playing in the background. And you can't just stop it. You have to mute it or just listen to it.
Yeah, I mean, this is
And
definitely, my favorite track off the album. And it just starts off again with like this awesome music. But I'll definitely say overall, compared to the rest of the album, this is more, you could say this is more like alt rock, right? It's more straightforward in that sense. But it still has this like cinematic feel to it. Like you could see the song playing in a movie. It could be because I've heard it so many times in the context of Hot Pursuit, and even one of the trailers had it. It just feels very cinematic in the way the sounds are put together. And when they like transition from one sound to another, it's not like jarring or anything. It's like these perfect transitions. Right.
I have this, like, it goes psychedelic with the guitar and the mellow beat before, I mean, that's how it starts, and then it
Yeah.
sort of kicks you into this 30 Seconds to Mars, sort
Yeah.
of trademark kind of zone.
And there's like this
And
interesting voice modulation going on as well, right?
yeah,
With
that's the
Jared's
classic 30
voice.
Seconds to Mars. That's classic 30
Yeah.
Seconds to Mars. And that voice modulation is always, it's you would always, argue against auto-tune, but that's not auto-tune. That's
No, it's just some
that is sort
sort of
of
sound effect. Yeah. It's just a modulation of
it's
like his voice sounding different from what it naturally
yeah,
is.
I think they're just adding to the music with that modulation.
Yeah.
They're,
And they're creating this atmosphere, right? Again, I go back to that word atmosphere, like with the
exactly.
sounds. And
Correct.
I think voice modulation is part of it. But again, thematically, I think the song kind of feels like it's about, like making your own future, like making your own destiny. Make your own future, make your own past. It's all right now.
Just cramping all of the Zack
Yeah.
Snyder's Justice League into this.
Yeah. But it does feel a bit, it's about taking control of your destiny a little bit and just going for it. And that's why it feels so good when you're racing the car in that game and listening to this.
I had a vision of of this hitman sort of holding a gun and on a person's shoulder and going down and being like, what it's not a matter of luck, it's just a matter of time kind of a thing. And that's exactly what, the lyrics sort of translate to it. You make
Yeah.
your own destiny.
Exactly.
And
Yeah.
so
Great song.
Edge of the Earth, then goes to Fallen, which, you know, it's got like an unexpected start to it with, you know, it's got like this 8-bit sound of respawn, if you remember. Like, you know, when you respawn in something like Dave, it's that sort of sound that it starts with. And then, you know, then the drumming, and then there's some distortion, and
Yeah,
you know,
it's it,
you finally
that
get
part
into
feels more classic
psychedelic.
rock with the drums and guitars. Like it feels a bit more like classic rock. But then when he starts singing, the tone sort of shifts again.
And then, then it goes into psychedelic and husky, melodious kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So at 3:30, there is when he sings this spinning sound. So, because 3:30 is sort of you up 60-70% into the song, and you know, his voice when he sings spinning, and the music sort of takes you with it. You know, you're just sort of in that whole spin in the song itself. And I think
And I
that's
think,
the
No, I was just saying, with that part, there's also in the last time they sing that part, the last two, like, I'm not here, I'm not listening. I'm in my head and I'm spinning, right? They have like this, they do this like whisper in your ear. Like again, going back to the atmospheric sound of it, they kind of whisper those words rather than just singing them, which I think again works really well. It really pulls you in to the track.
I mean, as for the music, they approach it as to sort of immerse you into it. And I think what we're just defining is them sort of being successful at it. And so about the lyrics of it, it's like defining human lives and how there are no more good lives anymore. And maybe the songwriter wants to visit Earth again, but he's trying to find reasons to come back, while every reason is
Interesting.
just sort of,
I mean, the way, yeah, the way that I see, I feel like it's almost like he's having a conversation with himself. Like, why are you here? Are you listening? Can you hear what I'm saying? And then he just, it's like, that duality inside you. But it does feel almost like a statement about humanity. Like, is this who you are? Some sweet, violent urge, a weak, fallen man, with the promise of an end, death. So like, it's sort of almost in a negative way, you could say a little bit, but it feels like a statement about humanity. Like, is this all that there is to us? Just like acting on our simplest urges and, driven by those emotions, like those raw emotions. But it is quite cryptic, right? The whole song.
All of their songs have these crazy metaphors in them. I mean, metaphors that, you know, you it would take some thinking for you to actually come down to. Like, they've thought each song. It's probably it's how they write. It's how Jared maybe writes. But it's just a very different, new sort of meaning that you see in it. So Fallen then gets us to Oblivion. Funny how they've like placed these songs, you know, Oblivion being Oblivion. And, you know, falling into sort of an
Into oblivion.
oblivion here.
Well, falling off the edge of the earth into oblivion, essentially. Because it's edge of the earth, fallen oblivion.
True. So, you know, the musically, the song sort of begins with this sort of tiptoeing feeling in, you know, maybe to steal something, or maybe to do some mischief. And it gets very energetic at, I think, at a 140, 145 mark. With the distortion and everything, you're just pushed into the song. And the lyrics are obviously something that we should discuss all further on, but what's your
Well,
first
just
take on
quickly
it?
about the music as well. Just quickly before we get into the lyrics, I think what you were saying about the music, You know, it really just feels to me like with the musics and actually the song overall, like it kind of feels like some sort of like interesting sci-fi story, a little bit like a rock opera sort of. You know, like there's a story going on, and you have the sound effects and you have all of that blending in. But yeah, with the lyrics, you know, I think really to me it just sort of feels like it's about like a revolution. You know, under the burning sun, I take a look around. Imagine if this all came down. I'm waiting for the day to come. So it feels like about some sort of big revolution. And you know, some of the other lyrics as well, you know, unity divides, division will unite. I think it's very interesting, like divinity perspective defines, you know, like you know, humans can be tribal, and so they come together and help each other within a tribe. That's unity. But at the same time, they destroy other tribes. So, like, unity divides. And then again, it's about that revolution, about all of this breaking down and starting afresh. But, you know, I guess you could interpret it in other ways as well, so...
Yeah, I mean, for me, what stood out was... I mean, there's lots of things to take out, but... Divinity defines and unity divides, as you said. Unity divides is, as clear, it's about wars and, you know, how people just want to take things from other people while, I mean, it's still not theirs. And along with that, it's divinity defines what I sort of made out from it is that it's about religion. That's the first thing that you identify yourself with. Or a human being will always, I mean, any human being in the 21st century will, or probably might first say, oh, you know, I'm, you know, this is my faith, this is my belief. While, you know, that's sort of defining you, and then there's unity, which is sort of dividing you. And, you know, there's lots of greatly used, you know, just these terms, these phrases that they've quite, you know, placed here and there, in especially in Oblivion and even the next song, which, you know, where I, if you've got anything more to say about Oblivion.
No, I think, yeah, that really sums it up, you know, that sci-fi story about revolution for me. Like, in my head, that's the movie that's playing.
Oblivion, you know, as deep as Oblivion is, the next song, Buddha for Mary, that's, you know, it's, firstly, that's the only song which has a real life person in it, you know, directly speaking to a real life person. And as I sort of listened to it further on, it was about empowering women, or you know, talking about, I mean, getting deeper into this, it's like, women are today are, you know, these the only beings who sort of have the most value to them, because they, you know, they are I don't know how to explain this, they can sort of define humanity. A woman can sort of define humanity because she's got everything that a sort of species would require to survive. And along with that, this song, it's about this girl who is being sort of thrown into this religious aspects of life, which is sort of, you know, it's hallucinating for her. She's hallucinating. She's seeing, you know, different things differently. And then talking about Buddha, which is, you know, a non-religious kind of faith. It's more a philosophical state rather than a spiritual, religious belief. And, you know, that sort of... And using the name Mary is quite interesting. Because Buddha for Mary, I mean, Mary being one of the most, you know, the holy names, so, of,
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the interpretations that I see a little bit. It feels like, you know, about the way that I see it, because there's a lot of sort of imagery about, even about like Mary being abused and taking advantage of in a certain sense, mm-hmm. but also about the two different sides coming together. But I feel like, I mean, there can be lots of different ways to interpret this, but the way one of the interpretations that I kind of relate to with this song is it sort of feels like about the institutionalization of religion. So like you have beliefs, and like Mary is the belief, for example, and then someone else coming in and sort of institutionalizing it, and then getting people to like obey the rules and like, you know, have their own agenda, and they're taking advantage of the beliefs in this institutionalized religion. And then I almost feel like, you know, Buddha for Mary, again, it's like an interesting choice of words, where it sort of feels like it's about taking it back, you know, to the more philosophical, spiritual aspects, as opposed to you need to follow these rules. But again, it is very cryptic in the way it's written. I know Jared has said, I think Jared said that it's the song isn't like Mary is sort of a metaphor for something else, but he didn't really expand upon that too much, like what he means by that. Because again, I think he just wants people to interpret it in their own ways, right?
Yeah, that's what I think. What you're seeing it as is like a more holistic kind of view on it, while I saw it as a, you know, as a sort of protagonist and antagonist kind of
more personal, more personalized in that sense, right? And I think also just going back to the music a little bit, you know, it starts off with these sound effects, and I think this is one of the songs, again, it really reminds me of like Pink Floyd a little bit, the way the sounds are. You could see like that producer working, you know, and it's it has that feel to it musically.
Yeah, it's I mean, they've discussed you know, faith in a very cryptic manner over here, which is sort of not you know, people don't feel offended by it because it's too, I mean, as you said, it's like there's so many interpretations that can be taken out. It's you know, a person can't say that, you know, that's what they're talking about, because they're talking about a lot of things in one.
Exactly. And,
So that, then the next track we have is Echelon. And Echelon, you know, at the end, it leaves you with like a worthwhile impression, you know, with the beats. Like beats, I think, go on for a minute or so at the end. And it's just the same beat that's going along, and you still, like, the song is still there. The song hasn't changed to another song, and that sort of, you know, you're just sort of left.
I mean,
with
the music.
Feeling. Yeah.
Yeah, the music. You know, more to what you're saying, the music really reminds me of something like Chicane, or almost, you know, like it has like that, like cyberpunkish, like synth and drums from like the 80s. You know, it has that, and Chicane also has that a little bit. So a lot of the music in this song, it's like in the previous song with the For Mary, it was more Pink Floyd. This more seems like Chicane in that sense. And again, it's about creating that atmosphere, isn't it?
True. Yeah, I never pictured Chicane, but yeah, Chicane does similar style. And, you know, it's the lyrics, you know, they've, again, it's quite heavy with the lyrics, with something like look at the red changes in the sky, and, you know, signifying something like hatred and death and war and things that are happening in the world. And but the music, again, it's, I don't know, this is sort of what defines this band, or separates this band from every other. And along with that, there's a sort of similarity I saw in 30 Seconds to Mars and other bands, which we will get into when we're summarizing it up.
Yeah.
Just to remind me.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. And just to add, you know, to the lyrics about being boring, I think, you know, echelon means level or rank. But it also, it sort of feels like being in the heart of war, right? So like the lyrics, don't look at everything here inside and be afraid, afraid to speak your mind. So it's like obeying orders, you know, you can't question the chain of command. And then there's also, it feels a little bit about getting caught up in the war, you know, getting lost in your cause that you have to fight for this. It's like it took a moment before I lost myself in here. It took a moment and I could not be found. Because like, you turn into a different person, like war changes people. And it very much feels like being that soldier on that ground in some futuristic war with that cyberpunkish, you know, music. So it's very interesting that they create this otherworldly setting musically, where the lyrics are something that you are more about just the human condition in general. And that's where a lot of, you know, these cyberpunk elements, sci-fi stories, they work really well because they're wrapped in all this, you know, suspension of disbelief, all this sci-fi stuff. But at the end, it's a human story. You know, it's some commentary about the human condition now or in the future. But certain themes are universal. And I think, you know, 30 Seconds to Mars is really good at pulling on that a little bit, you know.
Yeah. I mean, these facts that sort of make them stand out are the ones that drew me in since the first few songs itself, and even this album. So I had not heard this entire album before. Like, there were some songs like The Mission I hadn't heard of, Year Zero I hadn't heard, and well, let's get to the next one, Welcome to the Universe, which is I think this is the shortest song on the album.
It's almost like an interlude, you know, like a midpoint in a sense, like, of the album.
I mean, I think you can sort of connect Welcome to the Universe with the first song, which is Capricorn, which was a brand new name. And this is Welcome to the Universe, because this is also talking about, you know, that a change is coming and it's inevitable. Can't do anything about
it. Almost feels like it's like about like change or progress or like like humanity making it to space or something, you know, welcome to the universe. But the music creates like this epic environment, you know. Again, it's like almost something out of a movie, like a cinematic score. But yeah, it's a very short
cinematic score.
It's 2.5 minutes.
I don't know why they've never done cinematic scores,
movie scores. Interesting.
I mean, they can, because they kind of create that sort of, you know. Again, for me, it's they create this visual sort of perceptions for all their songs, and they would do quite well. Even well, let's not get into that. So the next song we have is The Mission, and I've only got this one thing written down, which is growing old. I mean, that's the mission, right? Eventually just grow old.
I mean, I think, and also like the song, I think this is one of the songs that does feel more like traditional rock at points, especially with the bass. It's more reminiscent of the rock style. But more to what you were saying, I mean, you know, one of the ways I see it is really, it is quite cryptic. Again, the way it's written, and quite abstract. So, you know, I sort of see it, one way I see it is sort of like, and I guess it goes to growing old, but it's like, you know, waking up with like a new idea or a new feeling or some sort of, you know, like you've got some sort of enlightenment, some sort of eureka moment. So you wake up with that and then you're like, this is how I'm going to live my life. This is what I'm going to do now. Because, you know, it says, I open up my head inside and find another person's mind. I've got to take this chance I've got. So you could see it as like getting old, like seeing another person inside, you know. But also I see it sort of getting up and just finding this like this mission and going for it. But I don't know, I think the lyrics need like deeper like analysis, because, you know, high above the serpentine I cross below the well-worn lines, entangled in a missing memory, a violent oversight. Like, all of this is just so much there's so much going on here. I feel like I need to listen to this song quite a few more times before I can really, you know, put these different aspects together.
Yeah, I mean they've really put
right.
So as we go into the lyrics and firstly for kind of, I think many of the artists we've done, the lyrics have been like really heavy, and you know it would just be one episode talking about one song if we actually get into the lyrics,
entangling the words.
Because everything has, and you will have different meanings while I'll have different meanings the songwriter had a different meaning to it. But yeah, so if we get to the next track, which is End of the Beginning, and it's sort of confusing that for me, that you know, it's how you have to take the possibilities of life and you know get something out of it, while it's not something that you should have done or should happen, but it's what happens. And I don't know what's your straightforward view on it.
I mean, like, on the surface, you know, the lyrics are just about like starting your own religion and watching it spread, sort of, you know, after like apocalypse or after like some sort of revolution has taken place. But I see it more as like having this new idea or new way of life and then watching it spread as like people adopt it, you know, like watch the men multiply, see them ease out of the circle, watch your friends run and hide, help them fall back in the cycle. You know, a more positive outlook of this is like there's like a new way of life, or there's a new way, you know, especially because some of the previous songs seem more about like a revolution, about change. Right. This is like what happens after the change is like you start this new religion, this new way to like, you know, I will build a new beginning, take some time, find a place, and I will start my own religion. So it feels like building from scratch, building your own way of life, your own philosophy, that then spreads because it's a philosophy that's, you know, universally appealing in a way, right?
True.
Musically, again, you know, the rock, and there's some more experimental parts, you know, there's some very interesting sound effects at like, I think like the 2:17 mark, like that very atmospheric sound. And you know, we've seen like bands go from like rock to psychedelic, right? Like Pink Floyd do that, and a lot of other bands. But I think one thing that's quite unique to 30 Seconds to Mars is they go from rock to atmospheric quite a bit. It's not necessarily psychedelic, but it's like a movie scene with sound effects and things. And then it goes back to a rock song. And I think that this song really brings that out. You know, it really made it evident to me that if that's what it is that's making it so unique, it's not just psychedelic, it's just transitioning to this atmosphere.
There's always a play with the stereo. There's a left to right stereo.
Again, creating that surround sound effect, right? Yeah. Like you're in a movie, you're in the middle of a movie, and then it goes back to being a song.
Yeah, true.
Right.
So, yeah, then we've got 93 Million Miles, which, you know, well, to define it, it's exactly how far I think the sun is from us.
Yep.
And besides that, talking about it, just with the music, just with what they were saying or how they're saying it, is it felt like a starting of a classic sword fight, you know, like a very classic those old age kind of sword fights that used to happen. And it's just, you know, you're seeing the details of everything, swords and then the hands and gloves, and I mean that's the vision I got with the music that they created. Well, what's your thought on it?
Yeah, I mean, again, it did feel a bit reminiscent of like Pink Floyd type, especially the intro, like the straight intro. Again, it's something that could have been off like a Pink Floyd song, but then it sort of evolved into its own thing. One thing I noticed is, you know, this song does reference some of their previous songs. So, you know, Another Time, Another Place is from the End of the Beginning. Then there's a line that says, "Welcome to the universe." And then there's another line, Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's another line that says the unified. The unified divide, which is like unity divides from oblivion. So I thought it was interesting that they kind of reference the songs. But lyrically, you know, it took me a little bit to really interpret what I think the song might be saying. But I'm curious to first know what were your thoughts about. Like, what do you think the song is about? Or like, how do you interpret it?
I think it's...
I mean, it's very abstract at times.
Yeah, so I mean, as I could only figure out, the burning sun is 93 million miles away from us, and that's sort of, it's talking about heat heat or hate, I would say. From time to time, I mean, there's lots of things going here and there.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's a lot of stuff about secrets in it, right? Show me your secret Mason sign and this and that. And I think, putting the title aside for a bit, the song, you know, starts off, where does your garden grow? Tell me the secrets that you know. Selling the secret to the sun and stuff. And I think it just kind of feels like the song is at the core sort of about secrets. A little bit, again, like a commentary on human condition, in a negative way, right? He says, like, pretty, but something's always wrong. But he's almost like, you know, when you start dating someone new or you start to get someone new, you kind of want to, you know, you there's that thing in your head that what are that person's dark secrets? And I think the song, to me, kind of feels like Jared, he's asking the other person to just bring him in, you know, like, share all the secrets, bring him into that, bring him into, like, you know, where does your garden grow? Tell me the secrets that, you know, he wants to know that completely. You know, the title, 93 million miles, I just assume it's something like, you know, you feel very distant from the person until they share the secrets, right? It's, you don't know who they are. I feel like there's a little bit of that, you know, especially because there is a line saying selling the secret to the sun. So, you know, it feels like it's about secrets. It's about letting you in the secrets, you know, letting you into the plan. Like, this is what I've done. Yeah, everyone has a dark past, in a sense. But I don't know, man. You could interpret it in a million ways. There's so much happening in the lyrics.
You can interpret it in 93 million ways.
yeah, exactly, man. And then, yeah, you know, the song ends and, you know, at the end, there's like this ambient atmospheric sound that fades in and then fades out. And I thought the track changed. I thought it started playing the next track. And then I realized, no, it's in this track. There's just like this, I don't know how long, like 10 second maybe, section right at the end, like the last 10 or 15 seconds. And it fades in. And it's surprisingly like inspiring sounding. That's why I thought the track changed. Because the rest of the song is a bit, you know, dark. But this ending is like a new beginning, you know. It does feel like there's a lot of like cryptic messaging going on, you know, like in ways to interpret this.
I mean, that cryptic message has been going on for, I think, all of the songs.
Yeah, I know, 100%.
So we've got the last song, which is Year Zero.
Technically the second last song, because I don't know if you noticed, there's a bonus track right at the end. This is I think it's like quite a long song, like almost 7 minutes or something, and at the end there's like a bonus track, which is like a speech.
Is it? Because I've got 11 songs in mind.
So on the track list, it just says Year Zero, and then you listen to the song, Year Zero, and the song ends.
Oh, you mean inside? Oh, right there. Yes, there is that.
It's an eight minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then right at the end, there's like this extra track, but we'll get to it. Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, make sure you got to that.
It's like the it's a bonus track that many bands actually sort of add into it. I've only got like, one line written about it. It says that I will I mean, or maybe this is the feeling probably that I got after listening to it. It was that I will stand my own ground.
Yeah.
You know, that's all that I have about this song. That,
interesting.
That sort of left me with this thought.
Yeah. Stand your own ground. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. You know, I think the song feels more hard rock in terms of music. Mm-hmm. But again, I've overanalyzed this, you know, all the way. But like the lyrics on the surface, right? It feels like the lyrics are sort of about like a hero or a superhero. You know, it starts, be a hero, kill your ego, which I assume maybe is like a reference to, you know, like the alter ego mm-hmm. in a superhero sense. It doesn't matter. It's still just a pack of lies. Build a new base, steal a new face. Again, superhero disguise, building your base. And year zero, I just feel like refers to, you know, like the origin of this hero. Year zero, another hero. Buy a new face, start a new race, like, you know, something like a Kryptonian, I guess, I don't know. It doesn't matter, it's all just to save your face, because, like, that's why you have the disguises and the alter egos. So, like, on the surface, it very much just feels like a commentary or, like, you know, some sort of, like, parody of, like, superheroes. But at the end, it kind of just feels like the song is about dropping, like, full pretenses. There might be, you know, like people can sometimes say that, oh, I'm doing this to help someone else. They might have a, you know, personal motive or agenda. And yeah. I think superheroes are a good background to paint this on, because oftentimes superheroes, they, you know, these origin stories start with an agenda, like Spider-Man, you know, losing Uncle Ben, or Batman losing his parents. Yeah. And it starts off with like a personal reason, but then it's covered in, no, I'm here to help people. I'm a superhero. Well,
you've got Superman losing his own planet.
Yeah, so it feels a little bit about, like, you know, drop the false pretenses. You're doing it just to save yourself, or you're doing it for your own benefit. And, you know, like, stand that, like own up to it. Like you said, stand your own ground. So that's the way I've sort of overanalyzed this this song. But on the surface, it definitely feels, you know, sort of about a hero, about being a hero or a superhero.
You probably just went all geek on it.
And then this song,
I was just gonna say
because then this song transitions into the struggle, the bonus track.
Yeah, the bonus part of the track.
yeah
that sort of does covers all the tracks, and, you know, it's
I just wanted to say about the bonus track. I don't know if you, because, you know, when it ends, when this track ends and they have that, like, the struggle speech, you could say, at the end, I could not understand a word that the person was saying. I had to, like, literally Google the lyrics, because it's, like, so fast and the voice is so modulated. I was like, I could pick out some words, but I couldn't tell what, like, the actual speech was. But it just seemed to be, again, about, you know, being manipulated by world governments and like you know, the message was sort of feel like, don't be a zombie, wake up to the reality, you know. It had that sci-fi cyberpunkish feel to it, and interestingly it ends with the words welcome to the universe, so that was interesting way to end it.
Yeah, it's I can't see the lyrics right now.
You can't hear it, you can't make it out when you're listening to the song. It just feels like someone's just saying stuff on like a microphone with some like voice modulation, but you can't really make out the word. At least I couldn't make out the things the person was saying.
I think it's the part, we'll never fade away. Is that the part that you're talking about? Is that the part that you're talking about?
It might be there in the speech, because it's just a long speech. I can't remember the whole speech. I think We Never Fade Away is part of year zero, like towards the end they repeat it, right? And then there's music for a bit, and then right at the end there's like this speech with like these sound effects. Like it starts off with like an atmospheric sound, and then this guy just comes up on the mic and he just starts like saying things. Like it's a long speech. It's quite a long speech.
I'll get into that. I mean, I will have to I mean, yeah. now that we've given it so much weight on it, so I'll just
have to listen
to it again. So that covers our track list with Year Zero. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it's always been a good experience listening to 30 Seconds to Mars, because there's always something new to find out. Like, there's the range that he has vocally and the range that they have musically is all very, I think every other album they've had a sort of new combination, obviously it's a new combination for every song, but you know, adding new elements here and there, and that sort of that you don't think of as an instrument, but they've added it. And again, getting back to them being like Pink Floyd, and I was saying, there was that part where their use of synths sort of reminded me of The Who. Yeah, you know, the Who using the synth the same way, and they also use the synth quite heavily. And then they've got Pink Floyd, they've got they've got Doors with their lyrics, and Pink Floyd as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a little bit of that, the way the writing is, right? There's elements of it that feel very much like Jim Morrison, like some of the lyrics, you know, Serpentine and some of the words that they use.
Serpentine is basically like what sort of just pushed me into
poetic, you know, in a way.
Lizard King.
But I think more to what you're saying, right? I think to me, really, what makes it unique is it's not just like they're not just focusing on like a psychedelic sound or like synths, or you know, they create this. I think they create this like ambiance, or this atmosphere with the sound effects. Yeah. Which I think really sets it apart. So it's not just psychedelic, but it's like you're in that futuristic city, or you're in space on your way to Mars, or whatever. You know, it's you're in a spaceship. They use all these sound effects to put you in this situation, and then, you know, the song is more or less about some sort of human condition. I think that is very unique in this album, particularly. Mm-hmm. And you know, the sound evolves, as hopefully we'll cover in later videos, because I really do want to do This Is War as well. I love that album as well. But I mean, in this album itself, they really define this atmospheric sound, although, you know, the lyrics and the rock part is sort of reminiscent of, like, you could say more of like alt rock, or even like something like My Chemical Romance, or you know, there's like an emo vibe to the singing and the rock aspect, but the way it's
they have a blend of many genres,
atmospheric sound, exactly. They create their own like unique style.
I mean, that's why it's futuristic. Right. That's why it's 30 Seconds to Mars.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, getting into just sort of want to end it on a before we chit chat too much, and you know, all of that chit chat's kind of hard, but. Yeah, it's Jared Leto, you know, he's had that sort of integrity with him that, or at least I have that respect, that, you know, he doesn't want to mix these two sides of his sort of creativity. It's he gives his 100 over there, and he gives his 100 over here.
Yeah.
And it shows. I mean, it shows the way he's written, the way they've produced the music, and they've really spent time on it, spent some thought on it. And the same way he does in his acting, he has spent time on it, and he has spent some thought on it. And I don't know that much about Shannon Leto, except that he's the drummer, and he has a very unique drumming style, like a offbeat kind of drumming style. And I think they've had different members come in and go out since the beginning.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've always loved their music videos being grand, you know? Like, if you've seen any of their videos.
Goes with the music,
Yeah, so all of their videos are grand. They've got like at least like probably a few hundred people on screen or more than that, or you know, yeah, things like that. Or and I don't know, again, coming down to I'm a big fan of Jared. I'm a very big fan, yeah, of Jared, and it's, yeah, that he also does you know, he's I'm on his Instagram, and he's always posting pictures of him climbing in Grand Canyon somewhere. And yeah, so he does that sort of free solo thing that he sort of climbs without ropes. Mm. And I mean, that's there's passion, there's talent, there's passion in that man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, 30 Seconds to Mars was, I mean, it's always a good listen, and it's always a good change of mood, as I would say. Yeah. And that, I think we covered it quite well, or as much as we could, at least in one episode.
Yep. Yeah.
And we will get to more 30 Seconds to Mars soon. And until then, until next week. Yeah, I don't know what. We will see you next week. We will see you next week with a new album. We will see you next week with something different, maybe. Or we'll try. Cheers. Drunk it. Welcome to Shuffling Notes. I...